Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Boy, it's good to be in the house today, isn't it? Good to see everybody. Jim, PJ, it's great to see you guys. It really is. Went through a difficult time, but coming through it by God's grace and God's help. Last week, I failed to mention something, so I'm about a week behind in this, but we have a new addition to the church. Do you have your baby with you? No? Oh, somebody's going to have to give the baby up. Oh. Yay! Good to have you guys. Wonderful. Welcome to the house. Welcome to the family. Amen. Oh, here comes another one. Here's one. Here's another one. My goodness. Just show. Come on up. Just show them off. Just turn around. Just show them off. Turn around. Let them. Okay, got a picture coming, so be careful. Hey, photo bomb. Yeah, I heard Kim in Sunday school this morning, and she said, she said, guess what, we get another grandchild, and it caught my attention. I didn't know you could get them. She didn't say, we're having another grandchild. She said, we get another grandchild. So is Kim still here? Kim, where are you? You know, can you tell me, where do you get them? I'd like to go get about five or six. You know? I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. I really am. But it's when you see these babies being born, and coming into the world, it's just a sign from God that he's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. He's not finished with us yet, right? He's got a lot of work to do inside us. Is that true? And we're on that pathway to becoming more and more like him, and then we get to raise up others. I tell you, there's nothing like giving what you have away to others. Especially when it's the Jesus stuff that he's given us, and Jesus as well, just give him to other people and begin to raise them up as well. So it's so good to have you guys. Y'all were out for a while, and now we've got to get you back with an addition. So that is so awesome, so awesome. We're going to go back to this thing about making the most of our moments, and I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. Just in review, life is made up of time, and time is made up of moments. So just a review, we want to make sure we have time. The Bible says redeem the time, and time is made up of moments. And we must recognize that every moment there is a kingdom narrative. In every moment there is a kingdom narrative. Now, there's also a narrative in there that the devil wants you to hear, right? But there's a kingdom narrative in every moment that we have. And in these moments, he invites us into divine solutions that only his kingdom provides. If you want kingdom answers, you have to seek ye first the kingdom of God, being governed by him, and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. And also remember that every moment has options. Every moment has options. You can have an opinion from an option, but you have to see the options, and there's more than one option. You can choose the wrong option. He said, but we have options that leads to opinions, and once we form opinions, sometimes they're unchangeable unless we are free to change, unless we're not trapped in it and we're able to be open thinkers. Sometimes our opinions can lock us in. But We have options that leads to opinions, and that offers us an opportunity to choose a direction to take. If it's going to be in the direction of God, or if it's going to be in the direction of flesh, or in the direction of the world. See, the world system is simply this. It doesn't want God. The world system is without God. It doesn't want God. It doesn't want anything to do with God. That's the world system. That's the reason Paul says, don't let this world conform you into, or form you or squeeze you into his mold. You know, so we have this thing, so there's more than one direction to go in every moment. So this is just a review. So in Jesus' moments, we'll look at this again over in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus full of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. That word full means covered with. And it means completely covered with. Not just a little dab of do you like Brill cream. Boy, did I show my age at that. No, covered with, completely covered with the Holy Spirit. And he returned from Jordan where he was baptized, and he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tried by the devil. So we talked last week about, you know, he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the voice from heaven, which was his Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In whom I am well pleased. Hadn't done the first miracle, but he was pleased with his Son, just like he's pleased with you, son and daughters. He's pleased with you. Now, he might not be pleased with what we do, because that's a transformation that has to happen in our soul, but he's pleased with who we are. Amen? All right, so we go on and we see that being led by the Spirit, a trial is designed to develop you. When you're led by the Spirit and you're going through a trial, its design is to develop you and I. In the process, also, in that trial, the devil's temptation is designed to defeat you. So, if God has allowed a trial to come to you, he's wanting to develop you. But in that same trial, the enemy steps in and he wants to tempt you in a way that leads you away from God, because his purpose is to defeat you, to steal, kill, or destroy. So in the process of that, we begin to see that God is at work even in the midst of our difficulties. Amen. He's never left us. And he said, man, this is a hard thing. He doesn't say that. This is a hard thing, and I can't help you. He never says that. He is the answer to everything. He is our answer. He is our source. He's not a resource. He is our source, if you get that. Okay, so Holy Spirit, he's designing a trial to develop us, to mature us, to help us grow up. How many of you have grown through some of your trials? See God's work happened. How many of you have been, how many of you walked away from a trial defeated in some form by that trial? See, we went the wrong way. See, we didn't analyze everything. We didn't seek everything by the Word and by the Spirit of God, and we formed an opinion that wasn't his opinion. It wasn't even close to his opinion in some cases. So we see all that, and then we see that in the same moment, you can have both. You can have God wanting to develop you, but in that same moment, you have the devil wanting to defeat you. We're not of a defeated people. We're more than conquerors. Amen. Y'all remember that? More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And what's more than conquerors? Okay, if it's a football game, if it's more than conquerors, is it 3-0? If you win, it's not just winning. See, more than, you know, if you just win, you're just a winner. He didn't say you're winners. He said, no, you're more than conquerors. So when you come into the thing, it's like, I mean, there's not enough digits on the scoreboard to put our score. That's how bad it is for the enemy, but that's how good it is for us, because we are more than conquerors. We're just not winners. You know, there's not just winners and losers. No, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I like that word, don't you? I'm not just don't have a victory. I am victorious in him. The next trial you see coming at you, you know what you need to say? I am more than a conqueror when it comes to this thing. Because that's what he says about you. Always agree with what God says about you. The world's going to say a whole lot of things about you. Your flesh is going to say a whole lot of things about you. And the devil's got a whole bunch more to tell you about yourself that ain't true. All right, so let's continue on. So he said he ate nothing during those days. And when that had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. So here's the key. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. If you don't know what's written, you can't say it is written. If you don't know what's written, you cannot say that. You can say, well, I think. Well, maybe. No. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that's coming from the mouth of Jesus. So there's the temptation. Are you really who you are? Then if you are, then prove it. Here's a stone, just turn it. You know, and he says, No, it's written. It's written that I'm not going to live by what you're wanting me to turn this stone to bread. I'm not going to live by bread alone. And even though he was hungry, he said, I'm not going to live by bread alone, but I'm going to live by every word. And that word is rhema. Every speaking word that the Lord is speaking to you at that moment. He may be using the Logos. He may be using this word to speak to you today about something. He said, that's what you need to live by. So what we're supposed to live by. So he had an option. His identity was being challenged. And like I said, Brother Mike and Brother Terry both did so well in handling the identity thing. So we won't go much into that today. But so he had an option about his identity. Then he had an option about his self-sufficiency. In other words, he could operate on his own initiative. How many of you have been tempted to operate and not even asking God? So, I mean, I see hands. I mean, true. Not, we just go ahead and operate on, well, I know enough. You know what that means? You don't need him. I know enough. Well, you may. How many of you think that you know everything they ought to know about one subject? Now, there's a lot of things we don't know about any subject, right? All of a sudden, God can show up and show you things, and you're like, man, I didn't know that. And he shocks us or he'll surprise us. So he wants us to operate on our own initiative and not following him. So the other option that Jesus was faced was the lust of the flesh. And this is a craving that is satisfied independently from God. The lust of the flesh wants satisfaction independently from God. In other words, I don't need God to fulfill this. I can satisfy this without God. And that's what the flesh does. It wants to satisfy things, a craving that you have, but without God. So these are just some of the options that Jesus is facing just in this one temptation. His identity, his self-sufficiency, and the lust of his own flesh. He was hungry. How many of you know that he was hungry and eating for it? He was hungry. But he didn't lean on his hunger. He didn't want to satisfy his hunger independently from God. So he depended on what the word said. My life is not about bread. My life is about hearing the voice of my Father. Okay, so we go on and we see that another option that he had in that moment is to distrust God. Don't trust him. Do it yourself. Don't trust him. The other option that happens, see, from these we can form opinions. And that's where we can get in trouble, because we see the options and we form an opinion that is in line with God, or it's one that isn't in line with God. So we form, it's a distrust. And the other option, he said, whose word or voice will he listen to? Will you listen to and submit to? How many of you know that we hear voices? Anybody in here hearing voices today? See, we hear voices. Is that true? But Jesus made a statement about his voice. What did he say? My sheep hear my voice. If you're a sheep, you hear his voice. So there, but that doesn't mean that's the only voice that you hear. You hear other voices. But he said, my sheep know which one's mine. They know which voice is mine. Because there's a lot of other voices out there, right? So he said, so that's the other option. So he has five different options here in this one temptation. So let's go on. It says, 1 John 2:16 says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So those things are not from the Father. And it started happening over in Genesis. Genesis 3:6 says this, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and a delight to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, lust for the pride of life. So it started way back then. See, the first Adam failed. Jesus is the second Adam. So he endured the temptation to show us that man can go through these difficulties by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? He didn't use his God power to resist it. He put all that aside and became a bond slave. He's 100% man, never stopped becoming, he never stopped being God, but he didn't use his attributes of God to be able to do that. Because you know why he didn't do that? Because you and I don't have that privilege. He gave us the example of a man being 100% man, fully influenced by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we can do. 100% man, mankind, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and we can overcome the very things that he overcame. Okay, so that started way back then. So he goes on up and he showed him the kingdoms of the world. Watch that, in a moment of time. In just one moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, I will give you all of the domain and its glory, all of this domain and all of its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. See, it was handed over to, all the dominion was handed over to Satan when Adam and Eve fell. So here we have, he said, I'll give it to whomever I wish. So here it is with Jesus. And then he goes on, he says, therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. All be yours. It shall all be yours. So I said, man, what a deal, you would think. What a deal. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. Once again, he answered the temptation with the scripture that he quoted, that he was able to say. Not just to know, but to say. And to be able to stand in the moment, stand in the moment that you're being tried with. It's either going to develop you or defeat you, based on which way you go. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Right here, you begin to understand and see in a little deeper way that Jesus links all of this stuff about dominion with worship. All the dominion and all the stuff that the enemy's wanting to give him, by the way, he's going to get it anyway. He just ain't getting it this way. He's not going to get it the devil's way. He's going to get it God's way. He's going to get it his Father's way. So he didn't fall prey and say, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to get it anyway, but I'll just go hit. No, he didn't do that. Why? That wasn't God's way. You know, God has patterns that we need to understand. He has his word, but he has patterns. That's called his way. See, Israel knew his acts, the actions that he did. Moses knew his ways. We need to be a people that sees his acts and knows his acts, but we know his ways. That's not the way of the Lord. Are y'all okay with that? That's not the way of the Lord. So he said, and serve him only. So we see this option is the lust of the eyes, of dominion, it's domain, power, glory, authority, kingdom, power, and glory. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. And in earlier translations, it's that phrase is not in it, but in later translations, it is. But kingdom, power, and glory. That song says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he's got the lust of the eyes temptation. What choice is he going to make? What opinion is he going to have? He's going to have the opinion that God has. This is the word of God. This is the way of God. And this is the way I'm needing to walk. This is the way I'm going to walk. Then it goes on and it says, the next one was the desire for riches and fame. Do you know there's a lot of people? Just let me say some. There are some people that are in the pulpits that have that trap, have fallen prey to that trap. The trap of riches, using this for a place to get rich, using this for a place to have power, using this, and they'll use it for their own. So that's not God's way. But yet it can be used in a wrong way. Okay. But see, so there's the other option that Jesus is faced with. But he says, no. He said, this thing about worship, you can have all of it. I'll give you all of it if you just worship before me. I'll give you all of it. I can give it to you. I got the power to give it to you. I'll give you all of it. And so it's a compromise of worship. So worship me and it's all yours. So there's another option that he has. And then the other option is compromise. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and what? Serve him only. So he says, Jesus sees there's a compromise in worship and a compromise of service that he's faced with here. Now, but he quoted the scripture and let Satan know it's not an option for me. This is where I'm at. And this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going to stand. And this is how I'm going to walk. It's not an option for me. So therefore, the only opinion that he has is the one that God has, his Father has. And that's really not an opinion. It's just him. It's his way. What about us? There's something in the Bible here that we can see that's over in 1 Kings 18:21. And it's Elijah. Elijah came near all the people. Let me give a background. There's been prophets. Jezebel has killed prophets of the Lord. And they have hidden, God's prophet has hidden about 100 of them, 50 over here and 50 over here, and there's 100 that's still alive. But she's on detail, this thing of Jezebel, she's on the detail of shutting up the voices of Christians. She's shutting up the voices of the prophets. See, she's already killed a lot of them. So Elijah comes on the scene, and y'all know this showdown that they had in the Bible about it. But he came near to all the people. He came near to all the people, and they gathered up about 850 of the prophets. Plus, they had all the false prophets to come before. And here he said he comes and he speaks not to the prophet. He speaks to all the people. He's speaking to everybody. All the people. They said they gathered, the people of Israel gathered. Now I want you to watch this. This is very crucial. You gather them together and he says this. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? Now he's not just saying it to a few. He's saying it to everybody. How long will you halt or hesitate between two opinions? See that word opinion? Had options. They saw the prophets being killed, and then they formed an opinion. I don't want to be killed. Wait a minute. No, I don't want to go that route. Oh, so they formed an opinion, and he says, "If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. You get it? He said, if the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Now, people would think that what they're doing here is straddling the fence, but that's not what he's talking about. If you go back and study this word halt or hesitate, this word, of all things, I learned something this past week, that word means, are you ready? Pass over. An action word, pass over, not the noun Passover, but the action word, pass over, but it's actually used during Passover. It amazed me that this word actually means to dance with. So what was happening is that there was straddling the fence. They wasn't straddling the fence. What were they doing? They were doing both. They'd dance. They'd do this worship dance. They would worship Baal whenever it was convenient. And then they would stop that, and they'd come over here, and then they would worship Jehovah until that became difficult. And then they'd go back over here and say, it wasn't straddling. It's not a straddle. That's committed to both. So I'm going to, you know, the reason that this thing means dance is in verse 26 on down, it says that the Baal worshipers, when the altars were built, and it's going to do the test of fire to come down and all that. And it said that the Baal worshipers says, oh, Baal, come. Oh, Baal, come. And then they jumped on the altar. They leaped on the altar that they built. It meant they danced around with it. They danced around on the altar of the false god. But see, the people were dancing around with the false god. Said it wasn't, they didn't straddle a fence. They wasn't on the fence. They were called flip-flopping. I'll do this one. Oh, today's Sunday. I'll be on this side if it's Sunday. It's Sunday. I'll be this today. Monday's coming. And you get over here and sometimes, I'm not in church today, so I'll just dance around with this a little bit. Matter of fact, it may even improve my job status. It could be anything. But that's what Elijah was challenging. How long are you going to do this? He didn't say make your mind up. He said, how long are you going to halt? How long are you going to go between two opinions? That's the reason he said, if God be God, follow him. Amen. And this is where you're going to stay. Boom. Even if it gets tough, even if it gets hard, this is where you're going to stay, right here. Because I know God, the Lord is God. He is Jehovah. Here's where I am. Jezebel says, I'll kill you. Right? She's wanting to destroy all, destroy all the mouthpieces of God. The only mouthpiece she wanted was the one of Baal. So he said, How long are you gonna do this between two opinions? See, it didn't have one opinion, it had two. This one's okay sometimes, and this one's okay sometimes. I can get by with it here, and I can get by with it here. No. That's he draws a line. He says, how long are you going to dance around between two opinions? And what did the people do? But the people did not answer him a word. Said, we just can't dance around with this. God's God. Choose him and serve him. Worship him. Not worship here and then worship over there. No. All right, let's go on. Then he led him up to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now who's saying scripture? And he actually misquotes it, to be honest with you. It is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, once again, it's written, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not put yourself in a dangerous position on purpose and then say, God will get me out of it. No, he didn't say. He said that this thing that he quoted, it was talking about the things that God was supplying the people, provisions for the people, and maybe you run out of provisions. He said, God's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. But see, what the enemy's wanting to do is that he's wanting us to do presumption. He wants us to have presumption. So this one is the pride of life. It's twofold. Presumption on the Lord is arrogant behavior that is disrespectful to the limits of what is permitted. Arrogant behavior that is disrespectful to the limits of what is permitted. The part two of that is hunting honors, titles, elite status. That's what I was saying earlier. There's some people that is behind the pulpit that they're looking for the status, looking for the honor, looking for it's all about them. This is a place of serving. This is a place of teaching, but it's not teaching so we will look good. It's teaching so he will be glorified. Amen. And it's vain confidence in self. That's what this pride of life is about. But watch this. Through all of this, and we're going to close. Through all of this, he said, when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. In other words, I'm going to leave you right now. That's getting too hot. He can't handle the scripture, so he's gone. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. It doesn't mean he'll casually walk away from you. He will run away from you speedily. That's the word flee. Submit. You can't just resist the devil. You got to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he said, the Bible said, he'll flee from you. I mean, he'll make haste in getting away from you. That's right here. It's got too hot in the kitchen. Said, I'm out of here. And he said, he's just planning on coming back when he has a more opportune time. And then watch this. Watch this. Through it all, watch this. And Jesus returned to Galilee. And the power. You know why you're going through this wilderness? He wants you to leave it in power. That's the reason he's bringing you the Holy Spirit to lather all of us up and to spread his self all over us, to be covered with the Holy Spirit, to be able to go through what he wants us to go through and come out on the other side with the power of the Spirit upon us. And that's when he started doing miracles. We want the power without the wilderness. We want the power without the trial. We want the power without the difficulties. We want the power without God. Yeah, it's about like that old joke that the deacon board was meeting and they're trying to figure things out and they couldn't get it figured out. And kept, well, yeah, let's do this. You know, and they'd been there about 2 hours and said, well, you know, that cannot work. That's not going to work. And finally, one of them said, well, let's pray about it. The other one said, has it come to that? It's just a joke. But see, the reality is this. How many times do we try to figure everything out, do everything in our own power, and we find out we can't do it, and then we said, oh, we forgot to pray about it. We need to pray about it. That'll be the first thing. We'll inquire of God the first thing, right? Amen. All right, so here's the thing we're going to say. God is issuing a challenge to people. to have their perspective set on the kingdom of God reality. He wants your perspective to be on kingdom of God reality. The reality that he's our king, we are his people, and he has a kingdom that has rules, has established what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. And so he wants us to say, I'm God's child. I need to have a reality that I'm in God's kingdom. He said, because if you don't have that perspective, otherwise we will live under the influence of an inferior opinion. Anything away from God is inferior to God. Not superior, inferior. See, he wants us to be a people that in our moments, we see the options and we understand the options. But he wants us to be conscious enough to say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I see this temptation. It's a trial, and I see this temptation as well. Because God, what do you want me to do? And the Holy Spirit will reveal, if you've studied, he'll give you scriptures to be able to quote and to say. And that's your proclamation of saying, this is what I'm going to do in this moment. In this moment. And he'll get glory out of it. And we'll come on the other side empowered more. Empowered more. See, this thing about power, he's wanting us to understand. He's already prepared us for it. And now he's going to test us in it. And we're going to come through it victorious and stronger than ever. I say amen to that. Amen. What say you? Amen. 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 So the Holy Spirit has armed us. He's prepared us. And he wants us to reveal and manifest who he is in us. See, it's the victory that we have, but it's his victory that's been given. It's the victory that we have, but it came from him. Everything comes from him. We're nothing without him, but we're everything with him. Everything with him. Amen. So in the next moment or two, when you go out and you get faced with different tests, remember these words, remember these things about, I mean, what does the Lord want me to do? We have opportunities all day long of revealing his glory by living his word. And being led by the Spirit. And when we hear the flesh talking, when we hear the world talking, and when we hear the enemy talking, we need to know who they are. And they're not from God. That's what the Bible said. They're not from the Father. So we need to get in this word. Stay in this word. We're not just to read it. It's good to read it. But he tells us to study it. That takes a little bit more time. That takes a little bit more digging. And I'm telling you, if you do that, I promise you, the Holy Spirit will show you things you've never seen before. Never seen before. Okay, I think I'm done. Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd like to surrender your life here today to him? Is there anyone? Okay, let's all stand. Turn to three people and say, it's good to see you today. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.